Luke chapter number 2, we're going to read the verses we go through in a minute for sake of time. I'll just begin by reading a couple of verses. The Bible said in verse number 6 of Luke chapter 2, and so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege, and Lord, the joy of being able to be in your pulpit today to preach God's word. I pray that you would anoint my lips. Lord, I pray that you would give me the words that you'd have me to speak. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage the hearts of those who have come to listen today and help us to leave here, Lord, knowing what you've done for us and realizing the importance of Christmas and the birth of Christ more than we ever have. Father, we thank you now for what you do, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray, amen. I've entitled the message today, The Christmas Story. I kind of was having a little regret this morning. I was thinking about I should have changed a little bit and actually called it The Dangers of Christmas. He said, dangers of Christmas? What do you mean? Christmas is a joyful time. Well, there's a lot of dangers that go along with Christmas. There's a danger if you go to Walmart and try to do any shopping right now. People literally fight over things, and so there's a danger there. And then there's danger of people that seem not to know how, or if they do know how, they're not interested in celebrating the birth of Christ as they should. And so they include alcohol in their celebration, and it's a very dangerous thing. Things happen and things get involved. Now, I don't want to give you all the negative things, but those are some things that are dangerous. But that's not the danger I'm talking about. The danger I'm talking about this morning is the danger of allowing this story and this time of year to become old hat with us, to where we just get so used to hearing it. In fact, some of you may have said today, oh, here we go again, back to Luke number 2, and we're going to look at the birth of Christ. This passage probably has been read more than any other passage in the Bible, especially during the Christmas season. We preachers do all we can to milk everything we can out of the few chapters that we have about the birth of Christ. We talk about the wise men. We talk about the angels. We talk about the star. We talk about, you know, the joy and the miracle that took place. And all those things are important, and they're true, and they're good. But the fact of it is, if we get to the point where those things don't move us, then we have a problem along the way, and we don't understand the truth of it. It's just like I say this morning, we're in Luke chapter 2, you're going to hear the Christmas story again tonight. But there's nothing wrong with hearing it as long as we understand the motive and the message and the method in which it is given, that we might understand the truth that God has for us. Now, I want you to see, first of all, and I've talked about this in the past, but I want you to see who the message actually came to. We know that the message first came to the shepherds who were watching over their sheep. Now, remember, this is Jesus, the Son of God, the very God-man being born into this world. What a wonderful thought that is this morning to think about that. But who in the world would think such an announcement should go to the lowly shepherds? They might have been, I don't know who they were, don't know much of anything about them, particularly other than what the Bible tells us. But listen, shepherding was probably not the greatest job that you could have. In fact, for months you might be gone with your sheep, leading them to places where they could feed and they could water. You would think that perhaps the announcement of Christ would have came to kings. Or perhaps it would have been announced in the temple to the people that had gathered there to hear that Jesus was going to be born. Yet we find that that did not happen. It went literally to just those shepherds that were there doing what God would have them to do. And we don't understand why the announcement of his birth did not come to a king in a palace. It's not a priest in the temple. But the birth of the Messiah is about one who would grow up and die on an old rugged cross for lost people, was made to a group of shepherds. I don't know about you, but I feel as if I can relate to shepherds better than I can kings. I feel like I can relate to shepherds better than I can some great official in some high position. Friend, I want you to know today that Jesus came to seek and to save all who were lost, regardless of who they were, their condition, no matter how much money they had or where they lived or what kind of clothes they wore. But yet, here's the shepherds outside on a hill of Bethlehem, somewhere watching their sheep. And Jesus, announces his birth to them. They were not wealthy. They were not powerful. They were not noble by any standard of imagination. In fact, to be honest with you, they were probably dirty and smelly. Because, listen, you can't hang around sheep very long without perhaps having those things. They may have been outcasts. Who knows? Maybe that's the only job you could get. Maybe there's the only job they could get was tending sheep. But the account of God's announcement to the birth of Christ was made to them, and it's an important truth. And friend, this morning, I want you to think with me. We don't need to get caught up in allowing this to become old hat. We don't need to get caught up in saying, you know what, I bet you I could probably start reading. I'm sure some of you probably couldn't by memory, but I could probably start reading, and you could probably say this chapter along with me while I read because you're so familiar with it. But the truth of it is today, we want you to understand the importance of it in our heart in what Christ has done. And I want to do that by sharing with you three important truths, or actually I think we have more than that, that we find in this story. This is a wonderful story. I tell you, it's the greatest story ever told. And there's never been one like it and never will be. So first of all, it's a story of wonder. Look in verse number 8. And the Bible said, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, the Christmas story is not so much about the Christmas story, although, listen, it's important, and I'm not saying that. But the truth of the Christmas story is about the people for whom the message is received. It's for those who hear. That's why the Bible said, let him that hath an ear, let him hear. That's why we come to the house of God. We ought not come with our mind all fuzzled up with other things. We ought to come with a clear mind, an open heart. It ought to be when we sit down in the pew, we say, Lord, speak to me today and show me the truth that you have for me. Well, God chose for the shepherds to be the first ones to receive the message. You said, why in the world would he do that? I don't know why he did that. Because I believe, you know what we say all the time? Well, the Bible says it. God is what? What did she sing about a while ago? Labor of what? God is love. And if God is love, that's the message that he wanted the shepherds to hear that day, to understand that he loved them and that his grace was available to all who would receive it. Aren't you glad today God's no respecter of persons? He died for the poor. He died for the rich. He died for no matter who they were, anywhere in the world, Jesus died for them. You may think, and a lot of you today may get to the point in your life. In fact, could I mention to you today, Christmas time could be a very, very depressing time for some people. We find that some people may be easily discouraged and depressed as Christmas time arises. It may be because of financial. It may be because you don't have the money to buy the gifts that you think that you need to get for anyone. And you may really be to the point this morning of feeling as if Christ does not care about you. But I submit to you this morning, if he cared about the shepherds on the hillside, I want you to know today, no matter who you are, he cares about you. I was in the hospital this week, spent the week. I've never been in the hospital 5 days of my life. And I had to go down several times for some tests. And as I would go down the halls of the hospital there in Tallahassee, somebody had taken the time to wrap and decorate all the doors, not on my hall, but the hall that I went to go down to get my test done. I think it was more offices. They had wrapping paper on the door. They had tinsel wrapped, you know, just dipped all the way down. I'm talking about a long haul. I tell you, it was encouraging. Something bright, something that gives you a little bit of joy and hope as you went down. They wanted to cheer people up. But you know, today, you may be asking the question, what does God care about me? Is he concerned about me? Friend, if he allowed his message to go to the shepherds, he cares about your life. He cares about who you are, no matter who you are or where you are. But I want you to see some things about how God sees us. Literally, I want you to know, how does God look at us? I'll tell you how he looks at us. First of all, he sees us as a sinner. I tell you today, whether you like it or not, the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word sin means that we've missed the mark. And no matter who we are, if we're born in this world, we're born without Christ. We find that the target that we aim for is for the glory of God. We shoot for that in our life. But the Bible said in Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, but our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. You said, wait a minute, preacher, you said he had favorable looking down on me. He is favorable, but he sees us for who we really are. You can put on a front, you can fool people, but you can't fool God. And when God looks down, God sees us as sinners. All have sinned. It's not just a handful. And by the way, there's nobody going to heaven except they repent of their sins and get saved by the grace of God. Sometime back, Susan was concerned about her brother, and she called and talked to him for a long time. We just take people's word, and that's all we have to go by. But he assured her that he knew he was saved and knew he was going to heaven. And I pray that is the case this morning. But I can tell you this, the only way to get to heaven is to recognize that God sees us as sinners and come before him. God sees us as sinners that deserve his wrath. I tell you today, God's a loving God and God's a wonderful God. But God's a God of judgment. God's a God of wrath. The Bible said in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not on him is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The word condemned there refers to the act of one judging another, one that is guilty, inflicting upon the guilty party a just penalty. The Bible said, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. I always describe this sometimes at YDC. I ask the young men when I'm trying to lead them to the Lord, I say, do you know what wages are? And amazingly, some of them don't. I guess they've never worked anywhere to where they got wages, but I explained to them. And I said, well, that's when you get paid for something. You get what you deserve. You know, if you work all week, you're going to get your check, and they're going to get it. Well, the truth of it is, the wages of sin is eternal death, separated from God forever and ever and ever. And God sees us as sinners. God sees us deserving his wrath. But God sees us as a people to deserve to experience judgment in hell. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 1:8-9, it said, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, friend, that's a great statement there. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. I wish this morning the church house was filled. I wish people today would have come that were lost and never have accepted Christ as their Savior. I wish they'd have come and heard what God thinks about them and understand that the only hope we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Matthew 13:50, they cast them into the furnace of fire, and there'll be weeping and there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Friend, hell is no joke. Hell is as real today as I'm standing on this platform preaching the truth to you. And I tell you, you can snub your nose at it, and you can ignore it, and you can think you're saved. But I'm telling you today, if you don't know you're saved, you ought to make sure that you've accepted the message of the birth of Christ and received him as your Savior into your life in order that you might go to heaven. The Bible said in Revelation 14:11, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and forever. But I got good news. He sees us as sinners. He sees us deserving wrath. He sees us deserving judgment. But in spite of seeing us lost and dead sinners and deserving to spend eternity in hell, God sees us as a people that He loves. And friend, today, isn't it wonderful to be loved? Isn't it wonderful to be cared about? I tell you, this week, honestly, I really got a little spoiled. I tell you, I was taken care of so well, and I had some great nurses, and they checked on me, and even had one other day that she wasn't my nurse, and one day she was at the other end of the hall, and she came by and saw me before she started to work and came back to see me before she left, and I just enjoyed it, enjoyed Susan being able to come and sit with me throughout the day. I tell you, you know, just somebody said, well, didn't you get tired of that room? Well, it's not so bad when they bring you 3 square meals a day and you know, they just take care of you. I mean, I had to give up a little blood every now and then and get a few EKGs, but hey, it was worth it, right? But you know what? God loves us more than anybody could ever love us and provide the needs that we have. For God so loved the world. Friend, don't miss the message this morning. The message, I know it's about the shepherds, and I know it's about the angels, and I know it's about all the things, but the message is the message of salvation that is given to those who have put their faith and trust in Him. God sees us as people that need to be saved from our sin, transformed from lostness to being saved, adopted into the family of God, made worthy of spending eternity in the presence of heaven. I got news for you this morning. There's nobody that wants to be saved that can't be saved. Everybody can be saved if they'll put their faith in God. In Ephesians 2, verse 4 through 9, but God, I love this passage of scripture, but God, who is rich in His mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. Boy, I tell you today, everybody's all excited. The other night, the grandkids came by the house, and you'll never guess what the first thing they went to was the tree. And Levi said, there's presents under that tree. And they got now where they can read a little bit, and they can tell whose name's on them, you know. And listen, that's the fun part of Christmas with family. But friend, there's no gift that compares to the gift of salvation that God provides for all those who put their faith and trust in Him. We can be saved. We can be transformed. The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new man. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I've talked to some of you this week on the phone, and you said to me, you sound different. Well, I feel different, and I'm grateful. But, you know, you ought to be able to tell a difference. If there's a difference that's been made, and if a person's been saved, friend, I tell you today, it's not about the talk, it's about the walk and how we live and how we lead a life. We all can be transformed. We can become God's child. In Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He said in 1 John 3, 1 and 2, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Friend, I can tell you how He sees us today, but I wonder this morning how we see Him. Friend, I love the Christmas story, but be reminded, He's not a babe in a manger anymore. He's not a dead man hanging on a cross anymore. He came down off that cross and He was buried, but thank God He rose again in order that He might show His love to us. And I'm glad today is lowly. And as sorry as I am, I can be made worthy to go to heaven and be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to his disciples in the upper room, John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you," he said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there, ye may be also." Paul reveals to us the kind of people that God saves. In 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 28, he said, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things, the shepherds. God's chosen me, and he's chosen you, the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring us naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Friend, nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to the cross I cling." The wonder of the Christmas story. Isn't that amazing? The wonder, the whole wonder of them, the story is the fact that Jesus saves. Second of all, it's a story of words. Look at verses 9 through 14. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now here's the shepherds. No doubt they were astonished, but this angel appears out of the sky. Now I know back then God used angels to appear, and maybe he doesn't work quite that way today, but I think we'd all be shocked if we were somewhere and an angel just popped out of nowhere, and immediately that angel was there for the manifestation of the glory of God. He was there to promote him, to lift him up. And all of a sudden, this heavenly light surrounds them. And they're trying to act as normal as they can, but the Bible said they were sore afraid. Brother, I tell you what we need today is we need some preaching that when people come to the house of God, they'll be sore afraid that they will not want to leave here till they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. The angel of the Lord begins to speak, and the first thing the angel tells them is understand is the message of peace. He said, "Be not afraid." He said, I bring you a message of joy, of great joy, good news that will bring great joy. Aren't you glad today that this story is not a story of wonder, but it's a story as we see it. It's a story of words. Every word that was spoken had a significant being and bearing upon those shepherds to whom they appeared. The first thing he did is he calmed their fears. I'm going to tell you what, there's some of you that have gone through this has been a tough year. And I'll tell you, some maybe worse than others have experienced things that have not been pleasant. But you know what the message is God wants you to have today? Be not afraid. That's why I keep saying all the time, God's in control. I know that's easy to say and even harder to believe, but the truth of it is today, we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It's a message of promise. He said this message was for all people. The message of the good news of the shepherds is to all who will hear. Everyone matters to God. Listen, today it makes no difference. I'm thankful today for God's love for us. And I'm glad today that I put on our bulletin years ago, we still do it, our church, a place where everybody is somebody. And I'm telling you, I don't care who you are this morning. It makes no difference to me where you came from or what your background is. The benefit is Jesus loves you, and there's a message of promise. It's a message of power. Listen to this. They said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The message is powerful because it announces the birth of a baby. But this wasn't just any ordinary baby. Oh, I tell you, that's the wonderful thing when babies are born. I tell you, I remember the joy of mine being born, the grandchildren being born, and even some of you when your children was born. I just remember the joy of that birth of those children. What a blessing. But friend, as much as we love the birth of our children and we're grateful for it, our children cannot do for us what the birth of Christ can do in each and every one of our lives. He is our Savior. He is our deliverer. As the life of the baby unfolds, we will come to understand that He came into this world for one purpose and one purpose only. As He was here, yes, it was important. It was of great significance. But friend, don't let the story die out in Luke chapter 2. It's only the beginning of what Christ has to offer. He said, "For the Son of Man," in Luke 19:10, "has come to seek and to save that which was lost." In 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ," or in Him. He is Christ. The word Christ means the anointed one. The Bible tells us this world has waited since man was promised for a Redeemer, since the Garden of Eden. The Bible said in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." You see, the Jews were looking for a man who would deliver them from their enemies and establish an eternal Jewish kingdom. But what God sent was a man that would grow upon to do battle with sin and Satan. What God sent was a man who would simply save a nation, but He would provide a means of salvation for the whole world to whoever would receive it. He's Christ. He's Lord. The word Lord refers to one who possesses a sovereign control. This baby was like any other baby because this baby was none other. Now listen, this baby was human flesh, but it was 100% God. This baby was and is the Lord of all. And Paul tells us that. The words of the angels that they came, it signifies how much God cares about us. It was the words that He put in their mouth for them to say. They were representing Him. But yet it was a message of hope. It was a message of promise. It was a message of peace. We should also notice the message was very personal in nature. Look in verse number 11. "For unto," what's that next word? "Unto you." Unto you and you and you. Listen, when that message came, it was a message to the shepherds. But it was a message to who would receive and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a promise that they could know this Savior, could know this Christ, and know this Lord. The message of the angel still speaks to us today. It's a message we all need to hear. And by the way, we don't need to fear. We have God's message that He'll bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. After the angel delivers his message in verse 13, he says, "And suddenly there was of the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Suddenly, a multitude of angels surrounded the shepherd. The word multitude does not refer to 50 or to 150 or to 1,500, but to a number that's even beyond counting. A vast number of heavenly hosts stretched from horizon to horizon came to witness the most amazing event that's ever transpired in this world. Then the heavenly hosts began to sing praises. Job 38:7, they sang all together, and all the angels shouted for joy. Now they join their voices to welcome the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sign to the shepherds is that they will find Christ lying in a manger. No other child in Bethlehem was born in a stable that night. No other baby in Bethlehem would be found in a crude feeding trough as Jesus was. But what will the shepherds do? They've got the message, but what will they do? Thirdly, it's a story of wisdom. The shepherds hear this amazing story. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass, the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find it very difficult to convince people that they need to be saved. Sometimes they think it's too easy. Sometimes they make all kind of excuses as why they will not. So what would you expect of the shepherds? I just kind of depict them in a certain way, and I'm not going to tell you how I depict them, but I just kind of see them sitting around kind of ragged and rugged and you know, just South Georgia guys, okay? And I just imagine one saying, I ain't got time for this. What are we going to do with our sheep? Well, they could have debated the message. They could have sat down and analyzed the message and tried to decide. You know, that's what we do. A lot of people don't get saved because they're trying to figure out what they can do to get saved. And they forget to read the Bible and what it says we have to do to be saved. Talking and more talking could have been their reaction. But we don't see that. They not only could have debated the message, but they could have rejected the message. You see, they could have said, this is not for us. It might have been delivered in glory and power, but this message is just too unbelievable. I've had people tell me that before. You can't tell me. You can go to heaven just by praying a little prayer. Well, yes, you can. For the seed, the Bible, they said, this is too far-fetched. 1 Corinthians 1:18 said, for the preaching of the cross, listen to me, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. They could have said in the middle of the night, we're tired, we're a long way from Bethlehem, they're just asking us too much, we'll get started later. They could have just rejected it. They could have doubted it. They could have ignored it. It can't be like, you know, we were told, in fact, why would we have been told all this? We'd be better off just to forget it. But instead of debating, rejecting, and doubting, and refusing the message, the shepherds chose to believe. It breaks my heart this morning to see people that refuse to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, life is going to be over as we know it down here. We're going to be in eternity somewhere or the other. And friend, I'm grateful today to know where I'm going. And these shepherds knew where they were going. They said, let us now go and see these things if they come to pass. It's not enough to hear about Jesus, by the way. You know, usually at Christmas time, we really have crowds. And Easter time, those are probably our biggest days. But this year, we're in a different situation, and so we don't have as big a crowd as we normally have. But a lot of times, people come on Christmas because they think that does something for them. Well, it's Christmas. We'll go and appease God today, you know, and give him a little bit of time. Friend, forget it. It's not your time that he wants as much as he wants you. And when he gets you, you'll give him all the time that he needs in order that he might work in your life. You see, here's some shepherds. And they didn't just hear about it, but they went. And what did they do? They found the baby Jesus lying in a manger. If Jesus had been born in Bethlehem 1,000 times, but is not born within you, then we'd still be eternally lost. Friend, he only was born one time to this earth, and he only died one time on the cross. But dying many more times and being born many more times has no effect upon your life unless you accept the gift of salvation that he provides for you. God sent his Son into the world to live a perfect life, to die on a cross for our sins, and to save us from our sin. If we believe this message, we'll be saved. We'll go to heaven when we die. The Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. If we reject the message, we'll remain lost in our sins, and we'll face God in judgment. we die. For he said, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Jesus said unto him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the Christmas story is about wonder. It's about words. It's about wisdom. Lastly, it's a story of worship. Look at verse 16. And they came with haste. I like that. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and pondered them. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They believed, they acted, and they saw the one that was born into this world. You know, basically, the shepherds was the first evangelists that there were. We find that it did not emphasize what it was like to see an angel or to hear the angelic choir. They didn't talk about that. The Bible said their main theme of reporting was which were told them concerning the child. Their mission should be our mission as well. The Bible said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 20 said, the shepherds, when they had seen such a wondrous sight, they went back to the ordinary. They went back to their sheep. They went back to their mundane activities of their lives. But I can guarantee you, they were never the same. And friend, when you meet Jesus, you'll never, ever, ever be the same. And it'll make a difference in your life. They went away glorifying and praising God. Being a shepherd would be lonesome, wearisome, and very tiring. But friend, today, if God calls us with the message of the Christmas story, don't let it grow old, but accept it as fresh and new each day. And if you're saved, thank God you're saved. But if you know people that aren't saved, you pray for them, witness to them, and do all you can to get them to receive the message that was revealed first to the shepherds. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the privilege and the opportunity that's ours to open your word. Father, you bless us so much. And Lord, don't ever let us get so used to reading this thing, this story, to the point that we fret about it or worry about it or fear about it. But Lord, help us to trust you. And the message that came to the shepherds, may it come to us today. And may we respond as they did. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Father, bless now this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.